Vaginas are absolute magic, and Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Hey, hey, you guys, welcome. So today I'm interviewing Rachel in our series of interviews, and Rachel has four kids and she's used Okra potty training for all four of her kids, which is amazing. Hey, Rachel, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your kids and their ages and all that jazz?
All right. So my oldest is a boy. He's 9. Then I have 6-year-old girl twins and then a 3-year-old girl.
Oof, you've run the gamut. You might be a potty training expert at this point in time.
I don't know. So yeah, I found you back when my son was like 1, 1.5. And your book was still like, just like the PDF version that I bought or whatever.
Right. Simon and Schuster hadn't bought it yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I read it and I was like, yes, like this, it totally felt right. And, you know, like a good fit for me. He was only 17 months when I started potty training him, but it went like so according to your book, your blocks and everything. Like it was like perfect and kind of magical. And a lot of people thought I was really crazy for potty training him that young. There were some like struggles with it. One little thing was he is super tall and skinny. And so like without a diaper, keeping pants on him was such a struggle.
Yeah, my son too. Yep.
And then too, when we would go places like our church nursery, he was still in like the baby class and there was no toilet in there for him to use. So like trying to get the people who were helping like with his class to be like, you have to take him down to the toilet and whatever, you know, and people were good, but they were also kind of like, what? Like, who is this? Why did you potty train your child so young? But I was like, no, this is amazing that I don't have to change diapers anymore.
What was your impetus? Because it is the social norm. Like, I forget now what's even in the book and what I put out in social media. But, you know, when I potty trained Pascal at 22 months, that's what started this whole thing was he got like famous. Because people were like, is that the baby who's potty trained? Like, we'd go into Whole Foods and people would stop me. And I was like, he's not a baby. He's 22 months, you know? So what made you go at 17 months? Did you just like, did he have some signs of, you know, quote unquote readiness or?
I saw like a blog post somewhere that was talking about your book. So then I got your book and I was reading it thinking that I would wait longer, you know, that he would be probably 2, I think was what I was kind of, or maybe 2.5 in my head. But I was like, I have no idea how to do this. So I started, you know, wanting to read ahead of time to kind of figure out like what's going to be my plan. And then when I read your book, yeah, some of your signs of readiness of like going to hide to poop.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
Things that I was like, oh, well, maybe he's ready now. I mean, he didn't have a lot of language. I think one of your things too is like knowing the ABCs.
Yeah, but just a rough, that's like such a rough, yeah.
But I remember reading that and being like, oh, I've never sung him the ABCs.
Better get on that. Yeah. And just for clarity, because that comes up a lot. People will ask me that. They're like, my kid's not talking or my kid doesn't know their ABCs. And it's just an example of learning by rote and repetition, you know, because we've become so used to instant gratification in this society that like the idea that it's really just commitment and consistency. We don't sing that song once and expect the child to know it. We sing it a billion times. So that's just for clarity for anybody listening, like that's not a die hard. And I always say, even without language, they're always communicating with you. So you can, you know, find that.
At the time, he was my only one. I was staying home with him, you know. So, I mean, I had a lot of like flexibility, availability to just be like, well, let's just try it. And I was kind of like, if it goes terribly, then we'll try again later. But yeah, it was kind of magical.
That's a great attitude too. Like I always say, don't try like in the sense of like, all right, I'm going to try and then you abandon it really fast. But I always say like, yeah, because the less pressure you can put on your kid, you know, like a lot of parents say that's way too early, 17 months, but then they wait till the child's like a week out of preschool and has to be potty trained. And then they're like putting all this pressure on the kid. And I'm like, no, let's meet in the middle here. And then can I ask you, how was it though? Like, so people were generally good, because we run into that a lot of like, you know, especially with these daycares and preschools that are separate rooms. Like if a mom wants to potty train and the kid's not in the potty training room, they like don't even help the mom at all. So your experience was slightly different though. People were helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. For the most part, I kind of felt bad because I felt like it put added pressure on them. So I would do things like try to make sure he went to the bathroom right when we got there. You know, I mean, it was church. It was like an hour. So it's not a whole day thing or whatever. And yeah, I don't know. That was like 8 years ago now. I'm trying to remember more of the details.
Yeah, I guess I missed the church part. So it was just childcare for like the gym or church or something like that. So yeah, like not
very
a full time. Yeah, not like full time daycare. Because that happens a lot. I tell people your daycare is going to resist you. So you might as well not even try till they're in the 2 year classroom. Yeah. Cool. And then twins.
So then I had my twins and, you know, I was like, okay, well, we're on this like kind of early potty training thing.
This
like,
is what we
I
do.
Like this. Yeah. I cloth diapered too. So I think that made a difference both in me wanting to be done diapering and washing and blah, but also with them and their readiness. But I did wait. They were like 22 months, so they were a little bit older. And I like scheduled it. I made my husband take a week off of work so that we would both be home and could both kind of attend to them and whatever. And then it was a total disaster. I don't remember a lot of details about what exactly was the disaster, but it was just horrible. I think I've blocked out some of it.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, potty training, it's like labor pains. You know how like you tell your birth story years later and you're like, yeah, it was great. Like you might remember that it was painful or whatever, but it smudges because otherwise we'd never reproduce. And like, I think if we remembered potty training pain, we wouldn't reproduce.
Yeah. Yeah. We tried for like 2 days, I think. And then I was like, we just have to re-diaper them. So we did and enjoyed the rest of the week off with my husband and whatever. And then I kind of had a new date in my head like 2 months later. And it was going to be kind of around Christmas when he had some time off again. And a week before, one of the twins just started taking her diaper off and sitting on the potty. Like I had left the potties out in their room, but I hadn't really said anything or done anything, you know, and she just started like taking her diaper off and would sit down and go. And I was like, oh, okay.
We're doing that now. Okay. But I have to tell you this now, granted, I am a full-time potty training expert. So I see the trouble, you know, in general cases. I have maintained in the 15 years of doing this full-time, I have never heard of a child who takes off the diaper and uses the potty. So you win a prize because whenever something happens where like, I've never heard of it in my work, I'm like, okay, there's the unicorn that I keep hearing about. Because people say that and I'm like, I don't know that that happens. You know, when parents are waiting for their kid to quote unquote be ready, they think that's what it looks like. And in my experience, that's very unusual. So that's when I say, well, I've never seen it, but now we have.
Well, I do think the few days that we had done some of the stuff earlier kind of helped like put two and two together for her. And like just after a couple of weeks in between, she just kind of was like decided.
Yes. And you bring up a very important point that I really want to highlight, which is number one, you kept the potty chairs out, but you didn't have them out. So, you know, that's one of my cardinal rules is don't put the potty chair out so they can get used to it because it becomes less magical. It gets used for everything. But you had a stepping stone already. So you kept them out. And I tell people that all the time. Like I get two kinds of parents. One is like, I've been potty training for 3 hours. This isn't working. I can't do this. I'm folding. And then I get people who are like, it's been a year and I still have 5 accidents a day. And I'm like, no. Like either you got to hang on a little bit longer or quit earlier. And like a lot of parents don't want to hear that. They say, oh, my husband took the week off. Oh my God. I already put 2 days into this, but you have to know when to quit earlier. Right. And so that's good. And it will marinate. That's what I call it. It'll stay in their brain and it'll be there. It just won't be the primary thing. Do you remember the disaster? Cause I'm actually going to do a whole podcast on just when to reset, but what made you know? Was it just because your son had, like, you knew what it looked like, or were you crying, or was there just pee everywhere? Do you remember at all?
I think there were tears, mine and theirs. I think they were like withholding. It was getting very uncomfortable, you know, that they just couldn't release. So I was like, we just have to put the diapers back on so they can go and we'll try this again in a couple months.
And that's good to know, because your daughters were 22 months and you guys, listen, that like you can absolutely do that, except if you're starting potty training when your kid's 3 and a half and they're withholding, then it's an anxiety we have to work through. So there's like that two sides. Like that's why I always say start younger than you think, because you have wiggle room. If it works out well for your child at that age, awesome. And if not, you still have some wiggle room to say, all right, well, let's try again in a month or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that was really good. And then so the one was kind of set. I mean, she still needed prompting. She, you know, needed some help with clothing a little bit and whatever. Yeah. The other twin, then I could just kind of focus on her and help her. And they've always been very close and stuff. So they, I think she kind of was like watching her sister and being like, wait, like, what is this thing that she's doing now? I want to do that too. And so it was pretty, in my memory, at least. Again, I think I remember it probably better than it was.
Well, it was better than at 22 months. It was not a disaster. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is when I say it's time to reset is when you're not seeing any progress. Like you're like, what the hell is going on? There's just, this isn't working, you know? And then when you do it again, you're like, oh, okay, now I'm seeing progress. Like your child's always going to need some help, right? It's just that it's doable. You're like, wait a minute, I can see where this is going.
Right. Yeah. So, and you know, at the time, I'm sure a single day feels like a week when you're potty training, at least a week. So yeah, at the time, I probably would have said a little differently about how it was going. But yeah.
It's like dog years. You start potty training and you age like 7 years per day.
Right. Yeah. So then, and then we had our fourth, and she was kind of similar to the twins. I started her a little bit earlier, though. She was like 18 months and kind of on a whim. I was not as ready with her to potty train. I'm not sure why. Maybe I had a little more PTSD from the twins than I remember now, but my mom was taking the three older kids for like a weekend trip. Like a long weekend. And she was like, oh, I thought this would be a good time for you to potty train Allery. And I was like, what? And then I'm like, oh, I guess I should potty train her while I only have her home. So I don't know if it was because I wasn't quite so ready, but it did not go well with her either the first time. So we ended up doing a reset with her too. She had a lot of fear and anxiety, like she was screaming about sitting on the potty, like really not great stuff.
The cat in a bucket of water. Yeah. Yeah. And how old is she now?
She is 3 and a half.
Oh, okay. So you potty trained her in pandemic.
Yes.
I saw the anxiety in the kids go through the roof for the potty train, all the transitions. So yeah, that probably contributed too. But also you weren't ready because you have four kids now. Like you're not ready for anything, I'm sure. Like, right? You're like, this day's starting. I'm not ready.
Right. Right. And we had just moved. So yeah, I probably really shouldn't have even tried it, but I think I felt like, oh, my other three kids are gone. I like have to do it right now.
Well, then your mom said something too. So now you're like, shit, now I have to, because my mom told me to.
Yeah. So that did not go very well. And we tried again a few months later. It was definitely not as magical with her as it was with my one twin, especially. It was still a struggle when we tried again a few months later. she still to this day can hold her pee forever. She's such a camel. She'll say things to me like, you know, I'll be like, we're going to the store or whatever. Like, you need to go potty before we go. And she's like, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something. She's like, well, I went pee when I got up this morning. And I'm like, yeah, let's go again.
Oh my God. That just reminds me of a story. My son, he said one day I was like, you know, he went to the bathroom or whatever. And I was like, did you wash your hands? And he was like, yeah. And I like, you know, did the mom thing. I smelled them and I was like, no, you didn't. And he was like, I did the other day. And I'm like, no, I need to wash them a little bit more. Like, mom, I already peed last year. Like, come on.
Yeah. So that made it more challenging in that just getting her the practice, I think, and the repetition and stuff of when she just didn't have to go that often, it made it harder for it to become more familiar to her.
And during those days, did she have a hard time releasing too? Or did she, could she just hold it for, yeah. Cause once that pressure starts to build up, it's really hard to release it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did all kinds of tricks of like the warm water and the, you know, practice blowing out candles. And I think I even used peppermint oil because I learned that one after when my twins were born, I had a C-section and I had trouble releasing. And one nurse was getting mad at me. And anyway, one really nice nurse came in and was like, here, let's put some peppermint oil in the toilet. And that can like help everything relax.
In the toilet?
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you a question. We're going to get personal here. I once got peppermint Dr. Bronner soap and used it directly on my genitals. And it was like a York peppermint patty in my vagina. And it was not pleasant. And I was like, so did the peppermint, I'm almost thinking of like the scent can be so strong, or maybe it was just like a drop. Like, was it fresh and fresh and wintry?
Yeah. It gave kind of a like cooling sensation that like helped relax and release.
Interesting. I have never heard this.
Yeah, I was so thankful for her because I was really struggling. And like I said, the one nurse was like, well, if you don't go, we're going to have to recatheterize you. And I was like, I'm trying.
Oh, okay. Well, then let me go. Oh my God. That is so great though. So you've given me, you get two prizes today. Because I did not know about the peppermint oil trick. So guys, use this with caution though, okay? Like a drop for your little one in the toilet.
Maybe try it yourself first so you
know the sensation. Yeah. Because a lot of times with those releases, when they are camels like that, it is just even getting one more pee somewhere in between, you know, so that pressure doesn't build up. Because then it gets painful. It's that, I talk about it in the book, right? It's like when you go on a road trip, and you have to pee and you have to pee and you have to pee. You stop at the rest stop. You're like so full of pee, but then the pee won't come. It's like that weird pressure. And you're like, come on, pee. Like, trying to talk it out and it won't come. But on a little one, that pressure can feel really uncomfortable too. So how's she doing now?
Really well. She is my most independent child.
Well, yeah, she's the fourth. The fourth one's like, I'm surprised she had the anxiety. Like, that's why I think it was pandemic related. Because the fourth kids, it's more like they don't give a fuck. They're like, yeah, whatever. You can't even watch me. You got three others you're watching. They're just kind of like, they're very YOLO kids, you know? So yeah, so that's interesting. But she's independent and she's not holding long times now.
No, I mean, not like unreasonably. She can hold it if she needs to, you know, but I don't feel like she's over withholding.
Yeah, that's good. Because I'm a frequent peer and that's a pain in the butt. Let me tell you, when I was pregnant, I had to map out like where every public restroom was because I couldn't walk 10 feet. Like I'd have to knock on somebody's door and it was your bathroom. And so now you homeschool. Can we talk about that for a second? I know this is a potty training, but I'm just excited to meet another homeschooler. So you didn't homeschool before the pandemic, but then you started during the pandemic and...
Yeah, my son was in first grade. So he was my oldest. So he was in first grade. And school was not great for him. He was at a Montessori school, which I grew up going to a Montessori school. So I loved that. And I thought it would be so great for him. Academically, he was doing fine. But socially, and just he just kind of had some like low anxiety about school. I felt like, and I was kind of unsettled about it all. And at Christmas break, so this is like pre-pandemic, when he had 2 weeks off, I was like, this is my normal child back. So that was very eye-opening to me. And so we talked about keeping him home after Christmas break and not sending him back to school. but my husband wasn't totally on board. He was kind of like, you guys like sometimes butt heads a lot. Like, I don't think this would be a good situation. So we sent him back to school. But then, of course, in March, the schools shut down. I'm in Michigan, and our governor was just like...
So that was the March, that was the December, right before the March.
Right.
So you're so powerful, you manifested a global pandemic to get your husband on board. That's what I'm hearing. So it's your fault.
Sorry. So our schools were completely shut down, as most states ended up being. And so he was home with me from March through June, you know, when that, which would have been the end of the school year. And he had been working like kind of above grade level at school. But when things shut down, they sent home just strictly first grade work for him. So it was way too easy. And so I am a teacher by training. And so I just kind of started adding in extra things. We just kind of started doing our own stuff. And so we kind of got to like trial homeschool. And it wasn't always perfect, but it was good. And he really enjoyed it. And so then that summer, as there's all kinds of conversations going on about what's school going to look like in the fall, nobody knew anything of what was, you know, going to happen. We just kind of got to a point where his school kept changing their minds about what school was going to look like in the fall. Part of that was state requirements kept changing, or nobody knew exactly what. And I finally just said, look, I'm going to be home anyway. I was still, you know, staying at home with our three girls, and I just don't want to deal with all the ups and downs. And are they in school? Are they virtual? Are they like, what's going on? So at that point, my husband was like, okay, yeah, let's just homeschool. And that year, my twins were 4. So we kind of did preschool. I kind of did preschool stuff with them. And my son was in second grade. So we just kind of jumped in, started doing things. And it's been really, really good. Again, not always perfect.
It's never perfect, though. You're not going to have a perfect day in school either, you know?
Yeah. And just having him not have all the, there wasn't like huge behavior issues, but it was just kind of this underlying like grumpiness, like not himself and stuff when he was in school, and being home like really helped with that, totally changed his attitude and stuff. So that has been really, really good and really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I started homeschooling my son after I had planned on it, and then he had great teachers, you know, and then Sandy Hook happened. And I had a huge existential crisis of like, life is short. We don't know when, you know, when something's going to happen to our kids. And I was like, what would I regret? Like, what would I regret if my kid didn't come home from school that day? And I was like, sending him away for the best hours of his life. You know, I always got the shit version of him. He was tired. He was hungry. He was stressed out. And then I was like, I want him during the good hours. Yeah, for us, it was really great too. It's a lifestyle, and it's not perfect. And a lot of people do ask, you know, well, I do fight with my kid all the time. And I'm like, I think a lot of the fights for parents, especially a little bit older, are homework, getting out of the house on time when you get home, you know? And I was like, yeah, eliminate that. And I don't know. I feel like, yeah, we have to figure out how to be in the same, in our lives with each other without butting heads all the time too. So that's awesome. Well, thank you so much. Did you want to add anything? Oh, you know what? I did want to say, I wanted to say about your twins. That is how it goes with twins, is very often one twin will get it first, even though like your daughter self-initiated. Let me ask you, was the daughter who took her diaper off, is she the more gregarious twin, or is she the, you know how like one's usually like a little more, I don't know, extroverted out there, physically skilled or something, and then another twin hangs back? Was she the more gregarious?
Nope, she's the one that hangs back.
Yeah, that's my experience. Yep, it's almost always the other one that you think is not going to get it that gets it first. And you guys, if you do have twins, it's totally okay to sign, seal, deliver one at a time, because your husband's awesome that he took the week off from work, but a lot of people can't do that. And so they can have help for a couple of days, but that you need two hands per butt for like a week with kids. And so if one kid is getting it, focus on that kid getting it well, and then focus on the other kid.
Yeah. And when she took her diaper off and sat down and went potty, I'd left the other one in diapers because I was like, I wasn't ready for this yet. Like I still had in my mind, still had a week until we were going to try again. And so I just kind of let the one hang out, you know, in her diaper and just do her thing and kind of, okay, I guess this one's ready. So we're going to do this now. And that worked out. That worked out well. So
awesome. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. This was fun.
And I loved hearing a little bit about homeschooling and I'm fascinated. I just love homeschooling. I know this is the potty training podcast, but I have quite a few episodes on my other podcast about homeschooling. And if you guys ever have any questions about homeschooling, ask me because I love to talk about it. Especially during the pandemic, like you said, that March of 2020, like even hearing about it, I start to get like PTSD. Like that year was so funky. It was so off. And like you said, like going back to school, and I was homeschooling at the time, but I was so furious with all the money we have, like, you know, as a society, like the best we could come up with was Zoom meetings, especially for elementary kids. I was like, we couldn't come up with anything better than that. Like, I just was like, oh my God, so developmentally inappropriate, but what are you going to do? Right.
Yeah. It was such a hard time because yeah, nobody knew what to do about anything.
Yeah. I was glad that I had already started homeschooling and I was glad I already worked from home. I was like, yeah. So we didn't get too disrupted in that sense, but yeah. All right. Do you have any thoughts you want to leave mamas and papas who might be listening? Any words of wisdom?
I don't know. I love your methods. I love your books. Both of them have been so good. I think just if you're struggling to go back and like reread certain chapters, because I know like you read it all and it's kind of like, oh yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. I get it. But then when you get into it, you can forget some of the little tips or tricks or whatever, or some of the like, oh, this is normal at this point to be whatever the problem is. So it's just good to refresh your memory, I think, when you're in the midst of it too. And like you said too, about like the looking for the little bits of progress. I was talking to a friend just yesterday that she's potty training her son and he's struggling with poop. But I was like, how have you seen progress in the last 3 weeks? Because she's like, I just feel like this is forever. And then when I was like, okay, but what have you seen? And then she's like, oh, okay, like this little thing is better and this little thing. And she started to kind of put together like,
oh, nice.
Okay,
yeah.
We are making progress. It's just a lot slower than I was hoping it would be.
Yeah. And when I find that in general, that is the number one thing. Like when I have a long, when clients can book with me, sometimes they can't book for like 2 weeks. And invariably they say, never mind, we're all set. Because they just needed to give it more time. By the time they get to my appointment, they've gotten over the hump. And I think, you know, we're clouded by like social media stories of like, oh, the kid who's ready is going to do it just like your daughter, just going to sit on the potty by themselves. And that usually doesn't happen. And I think we're clouded by these like 3-day methods. So people just think, because I'm like, your kid didn't learn to walk in a day. I mean, there's an outlier, I'm sure, who did, but it's a process and we have to allow for that. But I also like in your story, I like how with your 3 youngest, you knew in your heart it was a disaster. So you didn't give up too easily, but you quit fast and just said, you know what? 2 months. We'll just try in 2 months. And I always say that like, hey, have a plan. Quit whenever you want to quit, but have a plan of when you're going to start it again and what might be different. Because, you know, like I said, I deal with a lot of kids who are like 3.5, 4 years old now. And the parents like, oh, I'll just wait. And I'm like, for what? High school? At that age, you know what I mean? You're playing with fire waiting any longer. So that's why I always say that's an anxiety we have to work through. So awesome. All right. Well, you have a great day, Rachel. Awesome to talk to you.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye, guys.